Our scripture lesson for this evening is from Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, beginning with the first verse of that chapter, reading verses 1 through 6 and then skipping to verses 16 and 18. I'm going to read to you from a translation which is called The Message, which was put together by Eugene Peterson in the early 90s. It is a translation of the New Testament into what he has called contemporary language. And with a passage as familiar as this is, I think sometimes it's interesting to hear the message spoken in somewhat different words. So pray with me. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So listen with me for the Word of God. Be especially careful when you are trying to be good, so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. I call them play actors. People who treat a prayer meeting or a street corner as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it will look. Just do it, quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God in prayer, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. And when you practice some appetite-denying discipline, like fasting, to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, normally act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth and wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. God will not overlook what you are doing. God will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's important to pull all the pages of your sermon out of the Bible before you close it. I am thinking about giving up shaving for Lent. That means I will grow a beard. The reason for doing this? Well, recently there have been several occasions when complete strangers have walked up to me and said, "You look just like Governor Rauner." There may be some truth to that, but it does not make me happy to hear it. And I'm not being political here. It wouldn't work for me if someone told me I look like Mike Madigan. All the people who are running Illinois state government right now seem to be making bad choices one after the other. And so a Lenten beard would solve my personal discomfort about resembling a politician. Or Ann and I might give up some foods that we both like, but which don't fit very well into our healthy weight loss diet. Since I retired, Ann and I have been working out more and we're eating better, but neither one of us has achieved our weight loss goals. So maybe this Lent would be a good time to give up mashed potatoes and gravy, brownies, pancakes with maple syrup, toasted cheese sandwiches, every kind of pizza, every kind of ice cream. You're getting what I'm saying. If we did that, by Easter Day, we'd be a skinnier, somewhat healthier couple who are eating nothing whatsoever that tastes good. Or, another idea, I might give up reading mystery and science fiction books. I like reading books. I usually have a stack of books that come from the library or that I receive as gifts from my rather bookish family. When I look at my stack of books, I always have some significant nonfiction useful books about churchy subjects or about psychology or about international affairs. My daughter Elizabeth gives me those. And of course, my stack of books includes some mystery books as well, or maybe a volume of one of those multi-volume fantasy sagas that take a year to read. I like those too. And often, if I'm to be truthful, the nonfiction character-building books just gather dust for a long time. Now, I only have a certain amount of time to read. This is an excuse. But I know that I should. I know that I really could make better choices about that. But on many days, I just don't want to. And so I read the entertaining, lighthearted fiction. So this Lent, I could correct that. Or on a more positive note, I've thought about adding a time of meditative prayer to my daily schedule. In the past, I have enjoyed studying and practicing meditation, but I could never make it a high enough priority so that that kind of prayer was more than something just occasional. I used to tell my counseling clients that meditation would be helpful to them as they faced their mental health challenges. And I know that meditation can be a practice which will make us stronger and more resilient as we face our problems. So I have talked the talk, but I have never walked the walk of a contemplative life. So now that I've lost the excuse of being too busy, this Lent might be the time for me to sit quietly and focus prayerfully on God's love for me 20 minutes every morning. Well, these are all reasonable and perhaps somewhat appropriate Lenten practices that would move me toward some beneficial personal goals. But would they accomplish the core Lenten goal of growing closer to God, more connected to Jesus? This is the point, as I was preparing this sermon, that I stopped myself and I just read back through the pages I've read to you. And there was this voice in my head that said, "Greg, somehow you are missing the point of Lent rather completely." Okay, so what do I do when I'm thinking about some part of my life as a disciple of Jesus, and I reach the conclusion that I am headed down a dead-end street? Well, our Protestant tradition is very clear about what the answer to that question is. When you're confused about your life, when you want to know more about how to be a disciple of Jesus, you read your Bible. And so, I stopped typing all of my plans, what I might do this Lent, and I turned my Bible in the lectionary passage for Ash Wednesday, Matthew 6, where Jesus talks about almsgiving and prayer and fasting, all of which are very traditional Lenten practices. What I found there was Jesus saying that we should be especially careful in our spiritual lives so that we don't make a performance out of it. Jesus takes it for granted that his followers are going to contribute their money, they're going to practice compassion, they're going to fast, they're going to pray. But Jesus does not want them to make a production out of what they are doing in order to get some applause, to become some kind of spiritual stars. If you parade your holiness before other people, you may receive their approval, but that's all you get. So we disciples of Jesus should be careful to avoid performances and productions and parades in the season of Lent. And then in Peterson's words, this is what Jesus says. Here's what I want you to do. We should probably listen to this. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. So it's not the particular list of things that I do during Lent. It's how I do it. And this guidance isn't just about praying or fasting or giving alms. Anything we can do, in every season, in fact, can become self-centered, can be a way of seeking the goal of worldly success or popularity. And if we want to shift the focus of our life away from ourselves, away from worldly success, away from worldly popularity, if we want to turn toward God, if we want to turn toward Jesus, away from ourselves to the one who walked the earth as we do, and who lived and died and rose again to save us, if we want to turn the focus of our life away from ourselves to become more aware of the Holy Spirit, the power of God at work among us and within each one of us today, if we want to shift our focus toward all that God means to us and have a personal experience of God's grace, we can do that by quietly and unobtrusively living our lives as simply and honestly as we can manage. So in this 40-day season of Lent that begins tonight, I will be shaving or not shaving. I will be eating three meals a day of some kind of food. I'll be reading books. I will be meditating, or maybe not. On each day, from the time the alarm goes off until I close my eyes to go to sleep again at night, my life will consist for 40 days of all kinds of activities. I will be a husband and a father and a grandfather every day. I always work on my taxes during the season of Lent. That will happen. I will probably plant the first seeds of my garden as spring begins. I will roll out the garbage cans every Monday evening. That's a sure thing. I will celebrate some family birthdays. I'm looking forward to that. I will come here to Wildwood Church to do my job. Each month, I'll put a check in the offering plate. For 40 days, my life will go on, and there will be moments that will be sublime and other moments which will be ridiculous, I will probably experience happiness and distress. So Jesus told his disciples, and his words are now God's word for us today, to live every moment, all of life, with all the simplicity and honesty we can manage. In the season of Lent that begins today, that is what I hear Jesus asking me to do from morning till night for 40 days. And that is what I invite you to do. Now, I must admit that sometimes I do find myself tempted to make a production out of my life of faith as a disciple of Jesus. This is a particular risk, by the way, for those of us who are professionals or leaders in the church. It really is pretty cool when I do something that gets me some applause. I will, in fact, like it quite a bit if, as you walk out tonight and shake my hand, you tell me this is the best Ash Wednesday sermon you've ever heard. But Jesus is so right that having the focus of life on myself, whether I'm rolling out the garbage cans or preaching a sermon here, that's ultimately an empty, empty venture. So it is really important that I have all these elements of my life in which I'm not tempted to role play for God. Completing my tax forms will be a good moment, but there will be no parade to celebrate that. When I share my life with Anne, I must not do that to get her applause. That disqualifies my love for her. When I do things that express my affection and joy in being a father and a grandfather, it's not because I want them to give me the best dad in the world, best granddad t-shirt. No, that can't be what it's about. It's much better to quietly put a check in the envelope once a month and put it in the offering plate here, being quiet and unobtrusive about my faithfulness. Or if I find an email from the prayer network and I spend a moment saying a prayer for that person, asking God to bring healing or hope or peace into the life of someone who's suffering or struggling, that's a Lenten devotion that will be rewarded in God's way. So in the 40 days of this special season, don't seek to do something dramatic. Make no grand gestures. Don't undertake any spectacular spiritual quests. Instead, make all those choices that fill your days so that your life will be quiet and unobtrusive faithfulness. Do everything from morning until night with all the simplicity and the honesty you can manage. And if you do that, then the focus of your life will shift away from yourself to God, away from yourself to Jesus, away from yourself to the Holy Spirit. And you will experience the grace of God, the love of God, in this season, and in every season. So friends, in this season of Lent, just live all that life means as simply and honestly as you can manage, and you will experience the grace of God in your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.